You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant, biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org.
Go ahead and have a seat at all campuses. Man, we're so glad you're here. What a great way to start. Isn't that exciting? So fun to be able to see kainos, right? New things happening and God doing his work. And so downtown campus, we're celebrating with you and excited about all that God will do. Well, if you got your Bible, I want you to turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 29 is where we're going to be. 1 Chronicles 29. And in 1 Chronicles 29, this is what we've been going through, this passage of scripture through our entire kainos series. And I hope you've seen. And if you haven't, I'm just going to tell you, we've been wiring this whole thing together with the life of David, to be able to study the life of David. Next semester, after the new year, what we're going to do is we're going to look at the life of Solomon is where we're going to be. We're going to look at Ecclesiastes, and get ready, Baptist Church, Song of Solomon is coming, okay? So we're going to get into both of those, and we're going to look at the life of Solomon coming up. But here we're going to see, and we're going to see him for the next couple of weeks as well, but we're going to see the conclusion, if you will, to David's life. My passage of scripture, verse 26, the little title thing says, a summary of David's life. Now, here's the title of my message. The title of my message is Dying Done, Bucket List Checked. Dying Done, Bucket List Checked. Isn't that what you want? You want to be able to when it's time and it's your day and it'll be our day, all of us are going to have that day, that our bucket list will be checked, we'll be done, we'll have completed everything that we needed to complete, and we'll be able to check all those things off. Let me ask you, what's on your bucket list? When you think about a bucket list, what do you think about? What are the things that you want to do? Well, we did a little research. Here's a few things that are real popular with Americans on their bucket list. To drive Route 66. That's one of the ones. To drive on the Pacific Coast Highway. I couldn't find anybody that said their bucket list was I-10. I just couldn't find it. I searched and just couldn't find it, okay? To go to Hawaii. That would be a good one. To see the fall foliage of the Northeast. To see the Northern Lights. It's all these travel things we want to see. To go to a Super Bowl, to go to a World Series, to go to an NBA Finals, to go to a national championship game. Those are all those things that you could put in the sports category. And I just started thinking, well, what's on my bucket list? This is what was on my bucket list. One thing I'd like to do, I'd like to go to Australia. That would be cool. I've never been to Australia before. I want to be on that bridge that looks at the Sydney Opera House. It looks like that's where they're taking the picture from. I hope you can walk across it because I don't want to just drive across it. But to be able to see that, maybe that'll be a bucket list thing. But let me tell you what the best thing on your bucket list could be. The greatest bucket list item you could ever, ever have is this, to fulfill God's purposes for your life. That's the bucket list item. Doesn't matter if you see the Northern Lights or the fall foliage or you see Australia or you go to a big time sporting event. The greatest thing you could ever have in your life is that you would check the box of fulfilling God's purposes for your life. And that would be the greatest thing. You know, Jesus didn't travel very far, did he? He was right around his kind of hometown in that spot. But he fulfilled God's purposes in his life. Look at 1 Chronicles 29, verse 26. And I'm going to try to tell you how you can do this. Verse 26 is where we're going to start. We're going to read through 28. David, the son of Jesse, I want you to remember that. David, the son of Jesse, was king over all of Israel. And the length of his reign over Israel was 40 years. He reigned in Hebron for 7 years and in Jerusalem for 33 years. Verse 28, key, circle it in your Bible. He died at a good old age, full of days, riches, honor, and his son Solomon became king in his place. Look at verse 26 as we kick it off. David, son of Jesse, was king over all of Israel. Now that's a verse you could just pass by pretty quick, right? Oh, okay, yeah, now what are we getting to? That verse is ripe with meaning, ripe with symbolism. David, son of Jesse, was king over all of Israel. Here's the point I want to make. There is hope for you. Tough beginnings can have strong endings. Tough beginnings can have strong endings. David, son of Jesse. Do you remember when we studied David as the son of Jesse? He had all these brothers and it was time to pick out a king. Samuel came to pick out a king and they said, oh, look at all these guys. They're awesome. And they said, oh yeah, we got one more we forgot about out in the fields. Then he was belittled by his brothers when he went to fight Goliath. There was all sorts of family tension within the midst of that. And so here he has David, son of Jesse. When that is written, that's a huge statement. This means David, kind of out of nowhere. David, last and least of the litter. David, the one that they forgot about in the field. David, the one tending the flock. David, son of Jesse, comma, became king of Israel. Do you see the two? This is supposed to kind of put next to us a diamond on black velvet is what this is. To say there's a stark difference in this. David was forgotten as a son, but he was remembered as a king. David was the one that was passed over, but then he was the one that was lifted up. Absolutely amazing to think about. He was the youngest of eight brothers. He wasn't even invited to the anointing that Samuel was going to have when he arrived. Yet he is the most remembered king in all of Israel. Now, I want you to hear that from the very beginning, because I want this whole message to be filled with grace. Because what can happen on a bucket list kind of message, on a legacy message, on a message where we kind of go, okay, how am I doing in life? We can go, oh, I'm so terrible. Oh, I've done so bad. Oh, I'll never fulfill. I'll never get God's purposes in my life. I just need to just forget about God's purposes in my life and just go see the fall leaves in the Northeast. And God say, no, I've got grace. And if you've had a tough beginning, you can have an incredibly strong ending. Because if you're hearing this message right now, you're still breathing. And if you're still breathing, there's still grace. And if there's still grace, you still have a future. And if you still got a future, you still got a strong ending to be able to shoot for. So let me give you a couple things of how we can make it through this. When looking back, don't regret where you were, but do reflect on how far you've come. Don't regret where you were. That's been taken care of if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. His death on the cross has paid for your sins. And it's finished. It's over. The old is gone. The new has come. The kainos, new creation that you are. And so we've all done stuff in our past. Every one of us just, oh, something will come to mind you did way back when. Oh, no, that thought comes through. Don't think about that. Think about how far you've come. That's who you once were. Now you are who you are in Christ. And if you're not able to see that, then I ask you this question. Do you need to come to Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you need to trust Him to forgive all those old things so that you can walk in the newness of life? And we'll give you an opportunity to do that at all campuses. We'd love to be able to help you to do that. God is faithful. He gives us a future and a hope. Jeremiah 29:11, I have for you a hope, a plan, a future and a hope. And so God has this for you. You know what I do every once in a while? I'm a native Houstonian. I was born here, raised here, born in Herman Hospital in the medical center. I mean, you don't get any more Houston than being born in the medical center in Herman Hospital. Grew up in Houston, went to college, came back. Love Houston. Every once in a while, I'll go back to my old neighborhood and I'll just drive around. And I'll just see things. And every once in a while, there'll be certain places that'll bring a little bit of regret. Ooh, I remember what I did there. Ooh, I remember how I did this. Ooh, I wouldn't. But then most of the time I go, man, God's brought me from a mighty long way. Not just in neighborhood or house or streets or this or that. It's not a socioeconomic thing that I'm trying to tell you. It's a memory lane thing I'm trying to tell you of where I am now in my walk with Christ to where I was before I knew Christ. And so that drive through that old neighborhood is a great encouragement to me to not regret where I was, but to reflect on how far I've come. See, God loves writing comeback stories. See also Joseph, great comeback story in the Bible. Not Joseph of the New Testament, Joseph of the Old Testament. And Joseph of the New Testament kind of as well. He's like had to have an angelic dream to get with the program, but he had a comeback story too. But Joseph of the Old Testament, jailed, prisoned, and look at all that God did through him. Look at Job, all the tragedy of Job. But if you read the last chapter of Job, you see the restoration of Job. Look at Moses, a murderer that ends up leading the people into the promised land. Look at Peter. Peter would always say what he was thinking, and that's not really a good practice. Have you learned that in your own life? If you think it, don't say it. Think about thinking about it, and then think about saying it, right? Number one thing I learned in our first year of marriage is just because I thought it doesn't mean I need to say it, right? Key to a good marriage, but Peter thought it and he said it, but then he was redeemed. Look at Jesus even, not that there was ever sin. He was always sinless, but he died on the cross, crucified, Roman victory, resurrection. Jesus is the comeback story of all comeback stories. So great lives don't always have great beginnings, but they can have a great ending. Think of Tom Brady, in the 199th draft pick in the NFL, and look at what he's done in his career. Will the beginning be different than the ending? You may feel like the most unlikely pick. So did David. And allow God then to take you and to shape you and to make you who he wants you to be. The greatest thing on your bucket list is fulfilling the purposes of God. And fulfilling the purposes of God, hear this, are not about fame and not about fortune. It's about faithfulness to God. That's what makes a great person. So when you see in this world, it's about fame and it's about fortune. A lot of, you know, not all, but there's some famous and some people with fortune that they're not fulfilling the purposes of God. They're actually going against the things that God wants. The greatest person on planet Earth, you and I both have the potential to be in this way, is what I mean by that, is not fame or fortune, but fulfilling with the faithfulness of God. Here's what will happen. How do you find God's purpose for your life? Here's how you find it. You be faithful to God and God's purpose will find you. You don't have to worry about finding it. Seek first his kingdom and righteousness, and then all these things shall be added unto you. You just start walking with God. Did you ever think you'd be where you are right now? And you look at so many places in your life that God did something. You went, wow, how did that work out? I thought I was going to be a Christian businessman. I never thought I'd be a pastor. I just started walking with God. And now I know God's purpose is for my life. And so it's an awesome thing. And same blessing for you that are Christian businessmen and women. That's the purpose of God for you. It's not like there's a secular and a sacred. It's awesome to be able to just, you follow God and his purposes will find you. The Brooks family that we just had up here, they didn't expect they were going to be up here a couple years ago, but yet God's purposes found them and connected those dots. So we need to just be faithful. And I want to show you two key verses, okay? These are circle verses. These are bucket list verses. These are really key. One of them is we've just read, and then the other is going to be in Acts 13, and they mirror each other. We'll put them both on the screen. Verse 28, he died at a good old age, full of days, riches, honor, and his son Solomon became king in his place. Can you think of anything better? That's pretty good, isn't it? Died in an old age, full of days, riches, honor, awesome. But do you remember David and Bathsheba? Do you remember David and Uriah? Do you remember all the problems that he went through? But yet his ending was strong because his faithfulness of God. What did they call him? David was a man after, finish this sentence. David was a man after God's own heart. That's right, Sienna and Cypress and downtown and the Loop. He's a man after God's own heart. So with the fullness, died at a good old age, fullness of days, riches, honor, and his son Solomon became king in his place. Now look at Acts chapter 13, verse 36. Acts 13, verse 36. Here's what it says. It says that David, let me turn to it. Do we have it on the screen? There we go. For David, after serving God's purpose in his own generation, fell asleep and was buried with his fathers and decayed. Then after that, it goes into the resurrection of Jesus. Hear that again. David, after serving God's purpose in his own generation, that's as good as you can ask, fell asleep. In the New Testament, death is always falling asleep. Doesn't mean that there's soul sleep and you're asleep until the resurrection, you know, or until the rapture. That's not what it means. But he died because we know that we're going to be woken up again in heaven with Jesus. He fell asleep and was buried with his fathers, as all people will be. It's how the way of every man and every woman to die. And then his body decayed. And then it talks about the next verses, the resurrection of Jesus. Don't you love that? I love the combination. Riches, honor, sure, that's great, but more that he was fulfilling God's purposes in his generation is absolutely incredible. Dying at a good old age, full of days. And you know what? You can fulfill God's purposes in your generation and still die at a young age. To those who die young, history gives the role of the encourager. It's a quote when you walk into the sixth floor of the school depository building in downtown Dallas where Kennedy was shot from. To those who die young, history gives the role of the encourager. So God's purposes can be fulfilled at any age, at any place, but it's about faithfulness with God. So on your bucket list, is that the big check mark? I hope that it is. See, here's the deal. Here's my next point for you. Great lives are full of giving and forgiving. Great lives are full of giving and forgiving. He says that he had a good age, full of days, riches and honor, that God persevered through David in the years of his life. He was full of days. David had to persevere for a lot. God provided beyond David's needs. He was full of riches. David was surrounded by limitless riches, yet they didn't capture his heart. We'll see next semester when we talk about Solomon, how even the riches of Solomon didn't satisfy his heart. David had all of these things, yet he gives this prayer of thanksgiving that we read a few weeks ago of just saying, Lord, thank you for all that you've done. Who am I that you've done all these things for? What an amazing, amazing thing. See, our lives, if we're gonna have great lives, if we're gonna have bucket lists fulfill the purposes of God, we're gonna have to have lives that are filled with giving to other people. That's what's so great around Christmas. We're gonna have to have lives that are so forgiving of other people. That's what also happens to happen around Christmas when all your family shows up, right? You're gonna have to be like, just grace. Grace upon Aunt so-and-so. Grace upon, you know, why do these people stay here so long? Just grace, forgiveness. But we're also going to have forgiveness upon ourselves, aren't we? We have to have forgiveness upon ourselves. Now, we didn't get this all in the listening guide, so I want you to write this down. For what you wish you would have done, for what you wish is what these next things here, for what you wouldn't have done, you wish that you wouldn't have done this, what do? If you wish that you wouldn't have done something, forgive yourself. Forgive yourself. Can I just tell you, the grace of God will forgive you for any sin that's out there. And I found in my life, it's easier to receive the forgiveness of God than it is for me to show the forgiveness of Greg to myself. I beat myself up far more than God beats me up. He doesn't beat me up at all. He forgives me. He died on the cross for me through Jesus Christ. He offers forgiveness. Peter's sinking in the water and he extends a hand and lifts him back up. But yet when I do something wrong, and you may think about it for years and carry that guilt to some type of penance. And I want you to know, Jesus Christ said it was finished on the cross. And Cypress hear it. Downtown Siena hear it. It's finished. Forgive yourself for what you wish you wouldn't have done, but you did, and we've all got our stories. Forgive yourself. For what you would have done, you wish you would have done, give yourself permission to move on. For something you wish you would have done, why didn't I do that? I should have done that. I should have said that. I should have given there. I should have been kinder there. What I wish I would have done, do you see the difference? The first one is what I wish I wouldn't have done. I did it and I shouldn't have. This one is I should have and I didn't. Give yourself permission to move on. Take that step. We all should have said something. We all should have done something. We all missed that opportunity in that moment. And to be able to have that moment back, we wish we could get it back. Give yourself permission to move on. And then lastly, that you wish you would do. You kind of have this like, I wish I'd do that. I wish I could do that. Here's the phrase, go for it. What's holding you back? It might be a bucket list item of just some fun things you want to see. Go for it. Put it on the calendar. Save the money. Make it happen. Get on the plane. Whatever it is. Something that you want to do spiritually, go for it. Never been on a mission trip? Go for it. Never shared your faith with anybody? Go for it. Never really sung from your heart? Go for it. Never read the Bible through? Go for it. Never done a devotional each day? Go for it. Never really ministered to somebody and given to them? Go for it. Never been in a life Bible study? Go for it. Never been in a Bible study? Go for it. Never done this, that, or the other? Go for it. What else you got to lose? If you want to do it, God wants you to do it, go for it. Make it happen. That's how you end up full of days. You don't end up full of days sitting in your room going, I don't know. I'm too scared. I'm not sure. I don't know. I just guilt. Oh, I'll never get over that. I should have done that. Why did I do that? I shouldn't have done that. All that stuff's taken care of on the cross. You stand up and you walk forward. And you say, you know what? I'm going to go for it. I'm going to believe Jesus Christ. and I'm going to walk it out and I'm going to go for it and let God do his work. See, our days are numbered. Do you know that? Psalm 90, verse 12, our days are numbered. Our days are numbered, so our impact is now. It's not about later, it's about now. What's our impact now? What are we gonna do now? How are we gonna walk with God now? How are we gonna make a difference now? What is it that God wants us to do? And how can we raise up others to make a difference? Now, I wanna show you some advice to live by as we begin to wrap up this message. I wanna show you some advice to live by. And here's what it is. We find it in 1 Chronicles 28. So if you'll turn back one chapter, okay? Should just be on the, maybe the same page, maybe on the next page. 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 9 through 11. We're gonna see David's last words. You know how powerful last words are? There's a professor that unfortunately was given a terminal prognosis at Carnegie Mellon, and he gave his last lecture. It's had 20 million views on YouTube because there's something powerful about what's the last words that this person's gonna hear or that they're gonna say, and then I'm gonna hear from them. This is kind of in that chapter, that section of last words of David. Verse 9, chapter 28, 1 Chronicles. As for you, Solomon, my son, parents, this is the whole ball game for us right here. What's our advice to our kids? As for you, Solomon, my son, know the God of your father and serve him wholeheartedly with a willing mind, for the Lord searches every heart and understands every intention of every thought. Is that as good as it gets right there? Amazing. And if you seek him, you will be found. He will be found by you. But if you abandon him, he will reject you forever. If we push off Jesus, at some point we're going to stand in heaven there and say, you didn't trust me as Savior. Realize now that what the Lord has chosen you to build for a house, for the sanctuary. And I love this. Be strong and do it. Be strong and do it. If you were to look into 1 Kings, you'd see something very similar. In 1 Kings, you would find that there's also strength mentioned there. So let me give you a couple things to know. The first thing is this, know and serve the Lord. How do we find God's purposes for our life? What's the advice? What's our bucket list we want to give? Know and serve the Lord. Parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, teachers, coaches. What do you tell kids? Know and serve the Lord. If you'll know and serve the Lord, God's purposes will find you. I don't want to know and serve the Lord. Well, then God's purposes aren't going to find you. Not going to happen. Why would God waste his purposes on somebody who doesn't want to know him and doesn't want to serve him? He's not going to do it. He's not going to give diamonds and throw them into the ground. He's going to give them for those that trust and to savor and all that. The second thing is be strong and courageous. Did you hear the end of verse 10? It said, be strong and do it. Be strong and do it. 1 Kings chapter 2 says it like this. As for me, David's saying it, I'm going the way of all the earth, bucket list, saying to Solomon, be strong. And I love this. Guys, hear this. And be a man. Be strong and be a man. And keep your obligation to the Lord, your God, and to walk in his ways and to keep his statutes and his commands and his ordinances and decrees. This is written in the law of Moses so that you will have success in everything that you do, wherever you turn, so that the Lord will fulfill his promise that he made to me. If your sons take care to walk faithfully before me with all their heart and all their soul, you will never fail to have a man on the throne of Israel. I love that phrase. Be strong and be a man. Stand up, rise up. And walk with God and will never lack to have the lineage of David on the throne of Israel. How do we see that? Because Jesus Christ was of the lineage of David and he is the eternal king that is on the throne forever, which is incredible to think about. So be strong and courageous. Then 3 out of 4, keep a whole heart. Keep a whole heart. Back to 1 Chronicles chapter 29, where we started in verse 19. It says this. Let me find it. Verse 19, it says, give my son Solomon an undivided heart to carry out all your commands. David was a man after God's own heart. And then finally, get wisdom and insight, and throw in one from Proverbs. David wrote a lot about wisdom and insight, which is just incredible to think about. See, a life worth living is a life worth giving. Now you've got a life that now you're fulfilling God's purposes, and fulfilling God's purposes, you say, Lord, I want to give it to you. and I want to give it to others, and I want to be an influence, and I want to be an impact player. See, it's awesome to have a bucket list. I hope I go to Australia sometimes. That'd be super cool. I hope you get to see the fall foliage. I hope you get to check off the Northern Lights. I hope you get to go to Hawaii. That's all great things to check off. Wonderful, but it doesn't make a bit of difference. Nobody runs to somebody and says, would you be my mentor? I really want to learn from you because you've been to Hawaii. Oh, have you seen the fall leaves? I need help with my marriage. Could you tell me? Well, it all dies and falls. Well, that's not going to help me in my marriage. That's not very encouraging. But you walk with God and you pray and you seek and you get into God's word and you get a whole heart, a strong heart, a real heart. And you say, the greatest thing in the world, I don't have to leave Houston. I'm going to walk with God. And I'm going to fulfill God's purposes in my life. And what will happen is your kids will turn to you a little bit more and say, Dad, you got any wisdom for me? Mom, you got any wisdom for me? Grandma, grandpa, employer, employee. Those of y'all with businesses that have been in business for a while, there's a lot of young folks that are looking up to you. They're just trying to figure this thing out called life. And you walk with God's purposes and you will begin to give life away. And here's what you find. The joy of God's purposes is not in what we get, it's what we give. And I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about life. You spend a lot of your early years trying to gather into a mass, and then all of a sudden you wake up and you go, so what? So what do I do with this now? And you begin to then give and to mentor and to make a difference in somebody's life. And David led to Solomon. You see it? And he left a legacy that was great and amazing. What did David give to Solomon? Here's what he gave. He gave a nation that was under one flag. It was a unified country. He gave a royal capital that was established in Jerusalem. He gave a military force that was now respected by enemies all over. Israel's borders expanded from 6,000 square miles to 60,000 square miles underneath David. Prosperity was established due to extensive trade routes that David set up. The people hungered for God and his righteousness. David gave songs that could be sung throughout the land. David served his purposes in his own generation, and he fell asleep. That is as good as it gets, right? Lived full days, long life, fulfilling God's purposes. So I ask you as we kind of wrap this whole thing up, as we've been looking at the life of David, what's your bucket list? What is it you want to do? You might just be already doing it. Sure, get on a plane and go see some stuff. I love travel as well. Yeah, go to a big time sports event. That's fun. I've done some of that myself. But know that the bucket list that satisfies the heart is fulfilling the purposes of God. And at Christmas, Jesus was sent. And he fulfilled the purposes of God. And he wasn't wealthy. He didn't travel far. He didn't see a whole bunch of pretty stuff. He did exactly what God wanted him to do. Not my will, but yours be done. And because of him, we can place our trust in him alone for all the things we should have done, we didn't do. All the things we did do, we shouldn't have done. All the things we wanted to do, but we haven't done. We could say, Jesus, you fulfilled it all. And my faith and my trust is in you alone. And I ask you to do your work in my life. And I trust you to be my Savior, my Lord, my guide, so that I can die done with the bucket list checked. And again, I just want to end with saying grace upon grace upon grace. God can help you. God can forgive you. God can take you through. And not everybody we know and love fulfilled everything God wanted them to do. And that's okay. You can still walk into heaven not having fulfilled everything God wanted you to do because of salvation with Jesus Christ. But grace upon grace, and let's walk with God in this Christmas time and fulfill what God has for us. Father, we come in Jesus' name. We give you thanks, Lord. We praise you, God. We trust you, Lord. You are so great and so mighty. Thank you for this look at David and his life. And Lord, we want to fulfill your purposes in our life. In Cyprus, we want it. In Siena, we want it. Digital family, downtown, the loop. Every one of us hearing this, none of us are like, no, I don't want to do that. We want to do it, Father. So let us fall in love with you And as we fall in love with you, as we know and serve you, your purposes will find us. As we seek you, we will find you. And we love you and we thank you. We trust you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us at one of our four locations, at The Loop, Cypress, Downtown, or Siena. Follow us on social media or visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.